Well, it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago that I got to have lunch with a good friend of mine that I've known for years from Newburgh. And he's one that has invested in my life and my wife's life, and even he's invested in the life of this church when we planted it. And so as we got together over lunch, you know, we talked about this church. He was asking all sorts of questions, you know. And then me coming from Newburgh, we talked about their church and how things are there. And then we just kind of talked about the church as a whole. And in the midst of one of our conversations, he said something along these lines. He said, a lot of times we get so caught up in focusing on the sins of people, you know, and he's referencing the church and Christians, that we fail to do what we're really called to do, which is to introduce people to Jesus. And it's funny because as he said those words, I was reminded of the first message that I ever spoke to adults, okay? It was my first time getting to speak in what I would call back then, big church, right? I had been a youth pastor for a few years, but I hadn't ever gotten the opportunity to speak in the main service. And so this was my first time speaking. And the title of my message when I spoke was Introducing People to Jesus. It was a message that came out of John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. And so it was interesting because in the midst of that conversation, as my friend said those words, it just resonated. And there was something in me that just said, Darren, maybe you need to take a look at that scripture again. And I knew in that moment, you know, as he's sharing and my mind's going all these places about, ooh, I'm going to speak that. When am I going to speak that? I started thinking of my speaking schedule and knowing what we had laid out. And so I was like, ooh, after Tyler comes, Tyler was here last week, by the way. If you weren't here last week, Tyler Nice, one of my good buddies, go listen. He's just an amazing guy with brings an amazing word. And so if you get a chance, you can go listen to that one. But I knew after him, I was like, oh, I'm gonna hit that scripture again at that time. And so just this whole idea and this concept of making disciples, of introducing people to Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to John chapter 1. Verse 35. These scriptures that we're going to read today, they're full of just amazing, amazing things that God wants us to know and to understand. And so this morning we're gonna walk through this scripture, but we're gonna walk through this scripture a little different than I normally do when I walk through scripture. Normally I read the whole scripture. And then I kind of come back and highlight some points. But today I want to take some time. We're going to just kind of walk through it step by step. And I'm just going to stop at times as we walk through it and share some things that the Lord's put on my heart about this scripture. And so if you have your Bibles, you can begin with me here in John chapter 1, verse 35. It says this, the next day, John, and this is referring to John the Baptist, okay? The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And I want to stop there for a moment. What's John doing here, okay? He's introducing his disciples to Jesus. He's doing what he was really created to do. If you know about John the Baptist was to pave the way for Jesus and then to point people to him, right? And that's exactly what he's doing here in this scripture. It's the most basic form of discipleship. You know, it's interesting. I'm with pastors right now all the time, and we're always talking about how do you make disciples, discipleship. You know, there's all this conversation. Well, right here, this is just the most basic form of discipleship. It's introducing people to our Savior, right? It's pointing them towards Jesus. And the thing I want you to understand more than anything else about this little section of Scripture is how simple it is. The simplicity here of what John does. You see, we as Christians, we do a good job of making things more complicated than they need to be, right? We make things a lot more difficult. John simply introduced these two disciples to Jesus. look, behold, the Lamb of God. And as we're going to read on, we'll see that they in turn began to follow Him. And so let me pick up here in verse 37. It says, when the two disciples heard Him say this, they followed Jesus. Now, I want to stop here again, because there are a couple things about this encounter that I want to highlight. Now, the first one is this. We notice that they immediately began to follow Jesus. John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. And it says they turned to follow Jesus. Immediately they began to follow Jesus. Now, and this is important because of this, there wasn't a bunch of hoops for them to jump through in order for them to follow Jesus. You see, unfortunately, the church has done a good job of setting up a bunch of hoops that we make people jump through if they want to follow Jesus, right? You know, first of all, if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to stop doing this or that or whatever, right? We have all this list of things. If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to do this, right? You better stop this. You better stop this right now. We don't even sometimes let them come to church if they don't stop what they're doing, right? Then, well, you got to become a member, right? If you're going to be a Christian, you need to become a member of the church. And you can only be a member if you do what? A, B, C, you know, these lists of things that you have to do. Well, and then you got to go to a Bible study. Hey, if you're going to become a Christian, if you're going to be a disciple, you got to go to a Bible study, because this is way too complicated for you to read on your own, right? We make people jump through all these hoops, but why? This isn't what Jesus did. This isn't what John does here. In these verses, John the Baptist, he just pointed people to Jesus. And then they followed him. And guess what? Sins and all, right? Jesus didn't say, oh, well, first go take care of this, this, and this, and then you can follow me. He said, come and follow me. They followed him, sins and all. John knew that it was being in the presence of the Lamb of God that would ultimately change their lives. We forget that sometimes. All he had to do was point them to Jesus. All we're called to do is love people and point them to Jesus. And if we can do that, guess what? I believe this. I believe Jesus, He'll take care of the rest, right? He's the one that transforms lives, not us. I think a lot of times we think that we're the ones that transforms the lives of those people. We're not the ones that change lives. Our job is to point them to Jesus. Jesus is the one that changes them. We have to keep loving them. We keep encouraging them. And then Jesus will transform their lives. Now, the other thing I want to highlight about this scripture is that these two men, they weren't strangers to John the Baptist, okay? They were his disciples. And this is important because they saw how John lived. They saw that he didn't just talk the talk. John walked the walk. I mean, John the Baptist, he was the real deal, right? And so these men, they trusted him. He earned the right to be heard. That's why, yes, I believe what he's saying. This is the Lamb of God. You see, we as Christians, you know, we do a good job of telling people how they should live, what they should do, telling people they need to follow Jesus, getting out our picket signs and telling people they shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that, right? But who are we? Who are we? Have we earned the right to be heard by these people that we're pointing the finger at? Soapbox Christianity, hellfire and brimstone Christianity, I don't believe it's cutting it in our world today, okay? People want to know that Jesus is the real deal. And they want to know it by seeing the impact that he's had on your life, right? If you're claiming Jesus is this great thing, then wait, I want to see it in and through your life. If we want to introduce people to Jesus, we have to know him ourselves. If we want to point others towards following Jesus, we have to be following him ourselves. John had earned the right to be heard. And because of that, these two men believed what he said. And because of that, they were willing to follow Jesus. They believed what he said. If we want to introduce people to Jesus, then we need to be willing to invest in relationships. See, I'm not a big fan of this, you know, tell someone on the street what they're doing wrong and they need to give their life to Jesus. All right, let's say the sinner's prayer and then I walk away from them. Has anything happened? I've been through that. I've seen that in ministries and I'm just like, so what happens to that guy tomorrow? Especially because he's drunk right now and he doesn't even remember that he gave his life to Jesus. I've experienced that. We have to meet people where they're at. And then we have to invest and we have to love them, right? Develop relationship with them. We have to earn the right to be heard. Because when people see that we love them, when people see that we care, then as we speak into their lives, then they're willing to listen. Let's continue reading here in verse 38. It says, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Again, I want to stop here and I want to focus on the first part of this verse because I really think that this verse gives us a great picture of the character of the God that we serve. And it's the reason why we introduce people to Him. Let me just kind of paint a scenario of kind of how I vision this happening here in this scripture, okay? They had just been told by John the Baptist who Jesus was. Behold, right, the Lamb of God. Now, when you hear that, I imagine they were curious, right? Like, what? The Lamb of God? You're talking about like the Messiah? This guy right here? So I imagine, you know, there's this thought and they're kind of talking and that they're curious, right? They're curious, what does John mean? Is this really the Lamb? Is this really the Messiah? And I'm sure there's these thoughts about, well, how do we get to know this guy? And so they begin to follow, right? They're following him, most likely kind of maybe checking him out from a distance, you know, full of just, you know, wonder and amazement. But here's the thing I love. Before they can do anything, what does Jesus do? Jesus turns to them. He takes the first step towards them. He meets them where they're at. It's the character of the God that I serve. I know that. And I wonder if there might be people in this room here today who have been told who Jesus was. And maybe you're kind of like these guys. You're curious. You're coming to church. You're watching from a distance. I believe this. I believe God he's turned around and he's looking at you right now. He's looking at you in the face and he's saying, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want to know me? Do you want to experience my love? You see, I'm thankful for a God who's willing to meet us where we're at, who's willing to come to us, who's willing to take that first step. We don't have to jump through hoops to connect with Jesus. He comes to us. As a matter of fact, He seeks us out. Revelation 3:20 tells us that He stands at the door and knocks, right? He's seeking us out. He's standing at the door and knocking. And it says all we have to do is what? Open the door to come in and be with Him. What an amazing God. A God that seeks us out, that comes to us, that meets us halfway. We continue reading here in verse 39. It says, come, He replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where He was staying and spent that day with Him. It was about the 10th hour. He sought them out and then He spent time with them. It's that relationship that God created us for. Jesus desires to spend time with each of us. Are we too busy? Because I think sometimes we are. He created us for relationship. Are we spending time with Him? And the whole purpose of introducing others to Jesus is so that they can experience that relationship with Him as well. So that they can encounter Him in a way that will ultimately change their lives forever. Because that's what happens when we truly encounter Jesus, right? Look at the last part of verse 39. It's an interesting little thing that's in the Scriptures. It tells us it was about the 10th hour. And it's interesting in the midst of this, why that's in the Scripture. Why does it tell us what time it is? What is the significance of time? Well, why is it even in there? Well, here's what I've come to understand, that when significant things happen in our lives, we tend to remember them, right? We tend to remember where we were, how it happened, what time it happened. Sorry, I don't know what that was. We tend to remember these things, right? When significant things happen in our lives, we remember them. All the little details. And this is whether it's good or bad at times. Let me just give you some examples. How about this date, if I say September 11th, right? For many of us, right, that you probably, if you're like me, I remember exactly where I was when I first heard it. I was in my truck on my way to work. And I don't know why, I hardly ever listened to radio, but I had turned the radio on, and I was sitting at the stop sign just down the street from my house, and I heard the news, and I just stopped. And I started to weep. I'm like, what? No. And, you know, and then I'm like trying to get a hold of my wife when I get to work. Did you hear? Have you heard? You know, and I just remember all the details of where I was at, because it was a moment, it was impactful. How about this one? Some of you may remember this if you're a little bit older. When the space shuttle exploded. It was so weird, man. I totally remember. I was in eighth grade. I was in algebra class. It was our first period of the day. And class was about to start. The bell had just rung and people were starting to sit in their seats. And this girl, Lisa Wagner, that's her name. She's this happy-go-lucky girl all the time, you know. And she walks in, and she's just got this sad look on her face. And everyone's kind of looking at her, because this is not the demeanor that you normally see from Lisa. And she's like, the space shuttle, the one with Kristen McCall, it just blew up. And all of us are like, what? And I remember going to the library and watching and seeing the news. And I just remember in that moment being there, right? And like I said, it's the bad, but it's also the good. I can tell you, I remember very well standing there and hearing, Platoon 2042, dismissed! Oh man, it was one of the greatest days of my life. Graduating from Marine Corps boot camp. And I remember, you know, just the excitement. It was like, it's over and I'm alive, you know? And my family was there and it was just like the greatest moment. I remember where we were at and all just the sights and sounds, and it was just like the greatest. At that point, it was probably one of the greatest days of my life, okay, at that point in my life. But then what about November 5th, 1994, my wife and I'm standing up here, the doors open, and I see this beautiful bride coming down the aisle, and I remember everything. I remember the stupid flags that were around the church that they wouldn't let us take down, and so they made the pictures look funky, but anyways, but I remember the joy of it all. I remember I had saved from February 14th, before, so February 14th, before the November 5th, my wife and I hadn't asked her to marry me yet, but we were joking around and we had those little candy hearts, and the one said, I do on it, right? And so I had saved that. I had saved that for my wedding, and so when we said I do, I handed it to my wife, right? She didn't even look at it, she pops it in her mouth. And I was like, what did you just do? She's like, what is this? And I'm like, look at it. Is that, this was supposed to be so romantic. It was that beautiful heart I saved for you from whenever, right? And she's like, oh, before the ceremony, I was asking for a mint. I thought you finally gave me a mint. But I remember all those details because it was one of the best days of my life, right? And then, of course, when my son and daughter were born, how amazing. I just remember. It's great because I remember. My wife is so drugged up because they thought she was going to sleep through the night, so they gave her all these pills, and she ended up having the baby, you know. And so she doesn't remember any of it. But I remember it all, and I got to play catcher. I mean, and I'm like, he's like, do you want to? And I'm like, I can? He's like, yeah, go for it. And I'm like, okay, and rubber gloves, you know, and I didn't know babies are slippery with rubber gloves. And I was like, oh my gosh, I almost dropped my son, you know, and it's like, whoa. But it was an amazing thing, and we tend to remember those moments in our life that change our lives, that impact us forever. These men were obviously impacted by this meeting with Jesus, right? So impacted that they remembered exactly when it happened. So impacted that they would never forget it. God wants to impact our lives in a way that we'll never forget it. And He wants us then to introduce others to Him so that their lives can be impacted in the same way. And we see that in the Scripture. If we continue reading in verse 40, it says this, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which translated is Peter. And so we find out as we read here that one of these men that was introduced to Jesus by John the Baptist was a man by the name of Andrew. Now, a lot of people, if you say the name Andrew, wouldn't know who Andrew was. Andrew was actually one of the 12 disciples, okay? But not a lot of people know that. Not a lot of people know a whole lot about Andrew. They know a lot about his brother, right? Peter. He was well known. But not about Andrew. As a matter of fact, there are only 3 times in the Bible where Andrew is talked about with any significance. I mean, there's times where they mention the disciples' names, you know, and just read through them. There's other times. But there's only 3 times, this being one of them, where Andrew is talked about in the Bible with any significance. And as we continue this morning, we're going to take a look at some of these other scriptures of Andrew as well. Because in each of these scriptures, Andrew's doing the same thing. He's introducing people to Jesus. John introduced Andrew, and Andrew then goes and introduces others to Jesus. That's discipleship. That's making disciples. At the beginning of these verses, John told him that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And in that short time that he spent with Jesus, that time that impacted his life so greatly, he knew what John the Baptist said was true. He knew this was the Savior, this was the Messiah, so much so that the first thing he did was go and get his brother and tell him about Jesus. Ever since I was a little kid, my dad would take me to car shows. And I love going with my dad to car shows. My dad passed on his love of old cars to me. Now, I'm not like my dad. My dad can name every single old car, what year. You know, he'd be like, oh, that's a 46, but it's got a 45 grill. You know, he's got that mind, and I don't have that. But I've developed this love. I love old cars. I would love to have an old car someday. My dad's dream has always been, you know, a 34 Ford four-door sedan. That's like my dad's dream, okay? Now, my dream is just a little bit older, okay? I want a 32. They're a little bit more squared off than the 34s, okay? So my dream vehicle is a 32 Ford four-door sedan. Now, if I ever had one of those vehicles, I would paint it midnight blue, okay? And it would have these beautiful orange and yellow flames, okay? That's like my dream vehicle, all right? Now, if some chance later in life I'm ever able to get a dream car like this, I mean, it would have to be like willed to me or something like that, okay? But if by some chance I was able to get this dream car, I can tell you the first thing I would do is I would cover it up, put it in the garage, lock it, and let nobody see it, right? No, do you guys believe that? No. No, I would do the exact opposite, right? I would like be getting it out, and I'd be like out in my driveway buffing it, you know, as people drive by. I would be driving it around everywhere, right? Because I'd want everybody to see it. I'd want to show it off. And us guys, we're real good at showing things off, aren't we, right? You know, whether it's, you know, your car, whether it's, you know, your rifles, your guns, whatever, all that kind of stuff, whatever that is, you know, whatever. Whether it's your wife, right, you know. Check out this hottie. Wonder how I scored her, huh, right? You know, whatever it is, your house, you know, whether it's, you know, your muscles, welcome to the gun show. Yeah, baby, all right. Whatever it is, as men, my wife's sitting there going, oh my gosh, Darren, what the heck are you doing? She just doesn't want you to know that that's how I won her over. Anyways, sorry. But we're, as guys, we're really good, right, at showing things off. We're real good at wanting to, if we're proud of something, we want everybody to see it, right? But here's the thing. The fact is, all these things I just talked about, these things will eventually fade away, right? Your cars, they get old and rusty, right? I won't say anything about wives, but everything else, the reality is they all fade away, right? Get myself in trouble here. Yes. The reality is, though, they all do fade away, right? Wives don't last forever. Everything fades away, right? But Jesus is eternal. And if we have anything to be proud of, it should be our Savior. We should be showing Him off. We should be introducing Him to those around us, to our friends and to our family. The first thing Andrew did was he went and he got his brother. And as we continue, we'll see that Andrew had a way of introducing people to Jesus. If you want to jump with me, we're going to jump over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Some of you may be familiar with this scripture. It's the story where Jesus feeds the 5,000, but it's another scripture where we see a little glimpse of Andrew. Three short verses here. Or four verses, actually. It says, starting in verse 5, it says, "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite.' Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?'" And here again in verse 8 we see Andrew, he brings this little boy to Jesus. He's introducing this boy to Jesus. And here's what I believe. Just the fact that Andrew brought this little boy to Jesus in the first place, in the midst of this question, would lead me to believe that Andrew thought Jesus could take something little and make it something big. You see, some of us at times may feel like we don't have much to give. Who am I? Who am I? What do I have to give? I'm small. I'm weak. I'm incapable. I'm not anything like that person. Look at them. They're the ones. They're the ones that have something to give. A lot of times, I think we may feel like this, and Andrew himself may have felt like this. I mean, after all, right? Not everybody knows Andrew, but they all know his brother Peter. I mean, it says it right there in the scripture, Andrew, and they have to tell you, Simon Peter's brother, right? Any of you guys ever get that growing up? You know, you were never who you were. You were always someone else's brother or sister or whatever. I got that. My older sister, she's amazing, the one just older than me, her and her husband, they've been here, they passed her church on the way down in California, and when she was in high school, very popular, you know, and she was just a smart girl that was very popular. She was the class president of freshman year, sophomore year, junior, senior year, senior class president, you know. And so I started going to high school with her. And it was so funny. I mean, in the high school, it was always, it wasn't Darren. It was, oh, you're Deborah's little brother. You know, that's who I was. I was Deborah's little brother. Well, actually, back then it was Debbie. She goes by Deborah now because she's so old and sophisticated. So anyways, no, I'm just kidding. Scratch that. I hope my sister isn't listening to my messages. It was Debbie back then. Oh, you're Debbie's little brother, right? You know, and so she graduated. I think, all right, finally, I'm going to be me, right? Well, then my little freshman sister comes in, and I'm in, you know, I'm a junior, she's a freshman. And my little sister, she was pretty good looking, you know, and all the guys thought she was good looking. And so she became more popular than me. And so it was like, instead of it being, oh, you're Darren's little sister, it was like, oh, Darren, you're Denise's big brother. So I continually got this through high school. I thought I was going to have that moment where I didn't, but I felt that way. Like you're that brother, that sister, and Andrew, I'm sure felt that way. And it's interesting, though he was one of the first disciples, one of the first people to follow Jesus, it was always who? It was Peter, James, and John that got to go have that special times with the Lord. And to think, he was the one that introduced his brother Peter to Jesus, right? And so here's my point. We may feel like we don't have much to give. And the reality is we don't. Anything we have to give is from God anyways. But if we give God what we do have, just like the five loaves and the two fish, God will take it and he will multiply it for his glory. That's his desire in our lives. Andrew may not have had much, but he did have a Savior that he loved, a Savior that loved him, and he loved to introduce people to him. Jump with me to one more scripture here in John chapter 12. The last little thing we see with Andrew in it. John chapter 12, we're just going to read three verses here, verses 20 through 22. It says this, it says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn then told Jesus. They then took them to Jesus. Now, this scripture is an interesting scripture, actually, as you study it. This scripture is a significant scripture, really, in the life of the church. This is the first glimpse we see, actually, of a gospel for the whole world. Okay? Now, the significance of this scripture is that these men were Greeks, okay? And that's with an R, not geeks, okay? They were Greeks, all right? And the fact is Jews did not associate with Greeks. Jesus, being a Jew, should not be associated. The Jews, they don't associate with Greeks. And here these Greeks come and they want to see Jesus. And Philip, he doesn't know what to do. What do we do? What do we do, Andrew? And what does Andrew do? Andrew says, come with me. And Andrew takes them and he introduces them to Jesus. You see, I believe this. Andrew was convinced that Jesus was the Savior of the world. He was the Savior for all people. Like the old Sunday school song goes, right? Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in His sight. Andrew believed that Jesus was for all people. You see, it's interesting, these three scriptures that talk about Andrew. All three times in these scriptures, we see him doing the same thing. We see him bringing people to Jesus. He was convinced that Jesus was the Savior. That's the question we have to ask. What my wife shared this morning about believing. Are we convinced? Do we believe that Jesus is the Savior? And if so, then are we doing what we're called to do? Are we introducing people to him? Now, as a pastor, it's easy for me to say, well, hey, I'm doing my job. I'm up here preaching. I'm introducing Jesus to people all the time. But I can tell you that when I heard my friend say those words about not doing what we're supposed to do, introducing people to Jesus, it resonated in me because I realized I can easily try to say, oh yeah, I'm doing my job. I'm a pastor. I'm introducing people to Jesus. But Lord says, what are you doing outside the walls of the church, Darren? Am I introducing my neighbors? Am I introducing those people that I come in contact with daily? Am I introducing them to Jesus? Are they seeing Jesus in me? How do we do it? The reality is this, is we have to get out of our comfort zone. When we love something and we're proud of it, we have to let others see it. We have to be willing to meet people where they're at, to go and to develop relationships with people because that enables us and gives us the right to be heard, to speak into people's lives. That's what God did through Andrew. That's what God wants to do for us. And as a church, we feel that God has called us, our mission statement, to love Him, to love God, and to love people, to love others. And then what? To extend His kingdom. That's making disciples. That's discipleship. It's learning to love and accept people until they ask why. Why would you do that for me? Why would you even care about me? And then we get to say, well, because there's this guy that cares about me. He loves me. We get to then introduce them to Jesus. When we love people and care for people the way God has called us to, when we get out of our comfort zone and meet people where they're at, it's naturally going to open doors and opportunities for us to introduce people to our Savior. My prayer for us today is this, that as we've looked into God's Word, as we've looked at John the Baptist, as we've looked at this life of Andrew, that we've received some of the treasures that He has for us, and that we would see a God who's willing to take the first step, that we would see a God who's willing to meet us where we're at, that we would see a God who's willing to take us as we are, regardless of our failures, regardless of our shortcomings, and multiply us into great men and women of God that do great things for His glory. That we would see a God who died on the cross to be the Savior, not just for Jews, but for all people. And that all of these things, as we understand these things, would make us want to do what Andrew did. And that's simply introduce people to Jesus. That's what we're called to do. That's what making disciples is. It's loving God and loving people in a way that sees His kingdom extended. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You. I thank You for Andrew. These scriptures about this brother of Peter. It'd be so easy for Andrew to get lost in the mix of Your Word, Lord. But he played a big part in bringing people to Jesus. And the reality is You desire the same for us, Lord. Many of us may feel like Andrew at times. We may feel insignificant. We may feel like the brother of someone or the sister of someone or the son of someone, daughter, whatever it may be. We may feel like we don't have a lot to give. But Lord, You just ask us to give what we have. And when we give what we have, You take it and You multiply it for Your glory, Lord. You ask us to step out of our comfort zone. I think about that thought of Andrew bringing this boy to Jesus with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He could have been rejected. He could have been, what are we going to do with that? How are we going to feed 5,000 people with that little bit? But he put himself out there. He said, hey, we got this. Maybe You could do something with it, God. Help us, Lord, to come in that way. Hey, Lord, this is what I have. This is what You've given me. I give it to You. Use it for Your glory. May we be people who just walk the life that You've called us to live, Lord, that we're seeking to love You, to live our lives for You, to become who You've called us to be. And as we grow in that, Lord, then we're just simply reaching out to those around us and inviting them to the table, Lord, to come, to meet You, to allow You to come into their lives and change their lives forever, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my life and in the lives of those here who have accepted you as Lord and Savior for their life. And I just pray, Lord, that you help us to be people that continue to introduce others. And if we're in this room today and we haven't taken that step of taking you as Lord and Savior of our life, Lord, may we make that step, Lord. May we see your love for us. May we see the impact that you want to have in our lives. And may we be willing to take that step forward to follow you, Lord. And Lord, I know that if we do that, you will meet us halfway. You will meet us right where we're at, Lord. Grab hold of our hand and lead us, Lord, in the direction that you're calling us to go. We just thank you, Lord, for this word. May it penetrate our hearts, each of us where we're at, Lord. What are you speaking to us today, Lord? Are we ones that we need to seek you more and grow in you, that we can earn that right to be heard to those around us? Are we those that, Lord, maybe we've been shy and we haven't stepped out in boldness to just introduce people to you? Where are we? What place do we find? Are we people that we feel like we don't have much to give, but you're saying, step out and watch what I can do in and through you? Whoever we are, wherever we at, just speak to us, Lord, and help us to become the men and women of God that you've called us to be, Lord. Thank you for this word. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord Jesus. Continue to stir us and strengthen us and help us, Lord, in this journey of what it really means to follow you, what it really means to be a disciple and to make disciples, Lord. Let's not make people jump through hoops. Lord, may we just walk in the simplicity of who you are and love people in the way that you've called us to love them. We just thank you and we praise you for these things. And we give them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.